Two of all the songs to play.
Yeah.
Cause then you're gonna wanna throw our CD away. Oh.
And with that intro song, welcome to the Outkicked Our Coverage College Football Podcast. I'm keeping that in
Not
there.
fair.
Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Outkick Coverage. Like us on Facebook, and if you're listening on iTunes, be sure to give us that 5-star rating. I am Robbie Hughes from beautiful Colorado Springs, Colorado, and joining me, as always, is my co-host in Tallahassee, Florida, Nick Sellers. Nick, how you doing?
I'm good, man. What's cracking? What's good with you?
Are you feeling better since last week?
I'm feeling a lot better. I don't sound like 100%,
no,
as
don't.
My coworkers are fond of reminding me. But I feel a lot better. For a cold, it is lingering for an awfully long time, but I guess it's that time of year. So, but I feel much, much better.
It's also the time of year for awesome football, Nick.
Well, it's also the time of year for Robbie to get a year older.
I was trying to beat you to that so you wouldn't bring it up.
So
yesterday,
we're taping on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. Yesterday, Wednesday, was Rob's birthday. And how old are you this year, buddy?
I am the big 27. 27.
And did you get everything you wanted for your birthday?
I did. I got a sweet tool belt. It said from Hudson, my son, but he's only like 11 weeks old, so I don't think he really has the capability to pick that out. So thank you to my amazing wife, for whom I outkicked my coverage and married, for the wonderful gift. And she got me a Batman birthday cake, and yeah, it was pretty sweet. Which, by the way, it also turned our tongues blue, and that's what all we have to get into with the dye and what other things can turn blue.
Understandable.
When
apparently, I don't know if you've heard of this, the Burger King is doing a kind of like a spooky Whopper with a black bun. Apparently that is also turning things colors, if you're following what I'm saying.
Are you talking about people's poop, Nick?
I am.
I was talking about that too, actually. It totally turned my poop blue, and it was gross. Anyways.
Is Hudson too young for that kind of stuff?
He's
probably not caking yet.
He can't have like solid food yet, so we couldn't have like blue poop in his diaper or anything.
But yeah, I'm sure it's...
I'm sure this is TMI for anybody listening, but anyways, I don't know. Blue poo, whatever.
They'll understand one day when they have kids.
Well, and I also got a sweet... I just got it today. I just got the sweet nail gun and air compressor from my dad. So watch out, world, because Robbie's packing heat. He's got that air gun. Got the nail gun. Not air gun. Nail gun. It's a nail gun.
Nail gun with an air compressor.
There you go. I like calling it an air gun, though. That's more fun. But anyways, back to the original point. It was a great week of college football if you're a fan of having your expectations doused in gasoline and set afire, Nick.
Yeah, and I missed all of it. I was traveling, or I attended a wedding on Saturday, and I wouldn't have swapped that for the world. I was very glad to be there for a pair of dear friends. But it was a wild weekend. And I thought, we kind of talked about this, because contrary to your beliefs, listener, we do talk about the podcast before we get on and just start talking.
We do?
There's a minor amount of planning, but I thought instead of going in depth with all the game recaps, we would just briefly we take a different route and kind of go through the results and maybe who was favored, how Robbie and I did on our predictions, and then discuss what maybe was the cause of all this chaos, if there is more to come. So let's just go ahead and start at the top of our rundown here. We had number 23 West Virginia at number 15 Oklahoma. That one finished 44-24. Sooners. Robbie, both of us had West Virginia in that one. And we were incorrect. And I do believe that Oklahoma was favored, but only by 6.5. So kind of a surprising result there. Didn't really think that, you know, Oklahoma would run them out of the stadium like that. But it was close until kind of late third quarter. But we were kind of upset on that one. But the line was pretty much correct, Oklahoma to win. Mm-hmm. Iowa at number 19, Wisconsin. This was your good old-fashioned – this looks like an SEC score from about 10 years ago. 10-6, Iowa wins this one. We were also both wrong on this one. Whiskey was favored by 5. Important to note that Iowa still undefeated. Did they move up in the polls?
I actually haven't even looked at the polls, but I'm going to do that right this second.
This is going to be kind of a loosey-goosey kind of episode.
Iowa is ranked number 22 in the AP Top 25.
I see that.
So they did move into the polls. Thank goodness.
They did move into the polls, undefeated 5-0.
So while the pollsters out there can't seem to budge on wanting Ohio State to be number one, they do realize good football in Iowa.
Yes, and we will get to Ohio State in a minute. And I started to mention this is going to be kind of a loosey-goosey episode. Very busy week for both myself and Rob, so a little more off the cuff this week. Hopefully you guys are down for that. Moving along, number 11, Florida State at Wake Forest, final 24-16 FSU. We were both correct, but FSU was favored by 18. Only got it done by about 8 points there. I heard the refs were terrible. I did not, again, watch any college football this weekend.
Yeah, they weren't that great. The refs were pretty bad in that game, yeah.
I heard they were bad. I heard, you know, I know it was raining pretty hard. And I know that, you know, Dalvin Cook missed a portion of the game. So 10-point difference from the line there. Really, this is going to kind of drive our point home in the second half of this. But moving along, number 21 Mississippi State at 14 Texas A&M, 30-17 A&M. Did you do that? The ATM?
It's what their helmets look like.
Yeah,
it's
I know exactly.
I like calling that. Them ATM though. Like it's you're making fun of like, oh, they pay their players. They're the ATM. Anyways,
we were both correct in that one, so good for us.
Yay.
That one wasn't as surprising, but let's go ahead and get into one that was kind of, I don't want to say shocking, but a little more on the surprising side. Clemson and Notre Dame. Clemson takes that one 24-22. The line was Clemson by 1.5. I'm trying to find the box score because I know that this one was not as close.
No,
as
it wasn't.
That indicates. Yeah. Great day in the morning. Where the heck?
Here you go. I got you. First quarter, end of first quarter, Clemson led 14-3. Nothing in the second quarter. Third quarter, they led 21-3. And then in the fourth quarter, Notre Dame scored 19 points and Clemson only scored 3. In the fourth quarter, which brought us to our final of 24.
I was trying to follow that one on my phones.
Yeah.
We had a phone dying situation going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
So with 10 to go in the fourth quarter, it was 24-9. Yeah, so that one was kind of.
Yeah.
All right, so. 2-point win for Clemson, but really not quite. Let's get into the meat of the surprising scoreline. So some of those, we had a couple upsets there, couple scorelines that didn't quite go the way that Vegas thought they would, or we thought they would. You know, we thought Florida State would win by much more. You were correct on the Clemson scoreline. I thought Notre Dame would play much better. We're both wrong on Iowa-Wisconsin. How about a couple more scores, Robbie?
Yeah, well, and a quick side note. Clemson almost Clemsoned in the game. Yes, and but they actually have a chance to do the real definition of Clemsoning this week when they play against Georgia Tech. So just so you know, we're not forgetting about you, Clemson. You still have a chance to Clemson. And I can't tell you how many times this week I've heard that that verb, I guess, being thrown around, and it's just, it cracks me up. But
it's a verb for a reason.
I think if they make it to the playoff this year, it's almost worth retiring that phrase. But at the same time, I'm sure ACC fans don't want to.
I was really impressed with the way their defense played, just by looking at the box score and stuff like that. Fourth quarter notwithstanding.
Absolutely. Well, some other games that happened. This one was a total surprise to both of us. We didn't even talk about it last week, but Arizona State, unranked at number 7, UCLA. Sun Devils win this one 38-23, for which UCLA was favored by 12.5 points. It's also worth mentioning Miles Jack is out for the season before this game.
Bummer.
And I'm pretty sure as of, yesterday, he declared basically for the draft. So,
yeah, he said he's going to drop out of school and basically sign with an agent. And after he recovers, he's going to start training for the combine. So
yeah, and so that, you know, that totally stinks that we have to see a good player like him go. But at the same time, he's got to do what's best for him. And if the money's out there, you got to make that money, son. But that might be a good reason that Arizona State won that game. So it's something fair to keep in mind for Arizona State and UCLA. My favorite game of the weekend was number 13, Alabama, playing at number 8, Georgia. Alabama won 38-10, and while Georgia didn't have the blackout this year, we do call this one the washout because of the rain and just the drenching that the Tide gave Georgia.
What you did there, I see.
Aha. And it's worth mentioning, Nick, that you were wrong on your pick on this.
I was right.
But you picked Georgia, and you also were looking at that stat line that they were actually favored in this game by 1.5 points.
Well, I was looking at that, and I thought, you know, I think I had said something about the quarterback play last week. If Lambert had to throw the ball, I would take him over Coker. I didn't really get to see a whole lot of this one, but Georgia has this habit of kind of falling flat on their face in big games. This was a game that could have propelled Georgia into the playoff. It would have put them in the driver's seat in the SEC. Yes, they still would have had to have played in a title game at the end of the season, but I mean, this really could have set them on their way. And it was really kind of a must win for Alabama if they wanted to, if they wanted to push for that playoff. And they responded, man. Bama, I don't want to say they're the best team in the country, but they might be the one that I trust the most. I know with the 5 turnovers against Ole Miss, they lost that game and it still almost battled back. But in terms of all the craziness that's going on and the teams in front of them right now in the poll and stuff like that, I think they might be the one that I trust the most with that running back core, with the defense, the way it played. I don't think anyone can really shut down Nick Chubb, but they certainly contained him. And, for Georgia to put up 10 points at home is disappointing.
Yeah.
But also a big surprise, you know, I mean, a 28-point win on the road between the hedges. That's crazy, man. That's wild.
And, it's worth noting that, Nick Chubb, he did have his 13th straight game of over 100 yards. He probably wouldn't have even gotten that if it weren't for an 83-yard touchdown run that he got, where he busted through. He wouldn't have even gotten that if it wasn't for that one run. They were playing pretty stout on defense. They weren't letting very much go through for Alabama. So, you know, I think that you're right in saying they might be one of the best teams in the country, and it's really funny how this week Nick Saban came out and said, oh yeah, you guys buried us. If it were up to you, we'd be 6 feet under. He was saying that this week and saying that to the media. And now a lot of the media are turning around and turning their tails and saying, oh, well, they might be the most complete team in the country, even though they have a loss. You know, it's just funny to hear people talking like that.
Yeah, I thought Georgia had a chance, but golly, Bama, holy smokes, man.
Yeah. Another score to note here, unranked Purdue playing at number 2, Michigan State. Michigan State won this by 3 points, 24-21. A lot of people thought they were favored by more than that, including Vegas, who had them up by 23. So that's a
really tight game. Surprising result there.
Yeah. Ohio State, who was, of course, ranked number 1, played at Indiana. Only won this one 34-27, and they were favored by 21.5 points. And I don't know about you, Nick, but based on their resume so far, I don't know why the AP voters are still voting them number one. But I guess it has something to do with homerism, or it has something to do with region, because there's just no reason they should be number one right now. But then again, I don't know who should be number one.
I've heard, I don't know either, but I've heard a couple of theories. I've heard, you know, it's kind of like you're king of the mountain until someone knocks you off, right? So I think kind of the idea, kind of a similar situation to Florida State last year, who played in a lot of close games and didn't look, you know, great going down the stretch, but they stayed number one for a long time last season. Because they were the reigning national champion. But just like you said, looking at their resume, so they beat Virginia Tech week one without Virginia Tech's starting quarterback in the second half. Hawaii 38-0, a 7-point win over Northern Illinois. They took care of business against Western Michigan. But then another 7-point win over kind of a middle of the road Big Ten team in Indiana. No offense, Indiana, but they just don't look like the dominant number one that I feel the number one team should be and should look like. They don't really pass the eye test. That said, I don't know who you give it to. You know, I mean, right. It's just tough, man. We'll see how it all shakes out. And that's something we're going to address as soon as we get through the rest of these results. I think we've got one more here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, and the real rankings that actually matter, of course, the ones that actually don't matter, that they matter at the end of the year is when they actually matter. But the actual ranking system based on people voting, the college football playoff voting, that doesn't actually come out until like November 3rd, I'm pretty sure. So
yeah,
the rankings that we're seeing right now don't actually even matter until then. So, but
that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Speaking
just gives
of rankings,
us something to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking of rankings that don't matter, number 3, Ole Miss played at number 25, Florida. Florida had this one won 38-10, and it never looked like Ole Miss had played a football game in their
lives. Didn't even get off the bus.
It didn't even seem like it, dude. We were both wrong about this game. We were both very wrong, I feel, about it, because Ole Miss, they were favored by 6.5 points going into this game. It is also worth noting, if you listened to the podcast last week, you would have noted that in our Outkicked Our Coverage table, we had Florida ranked like number 2 or 3, and yeah, Ole Miss was down in like the late teens. So at least the table called it. So you know what?
To the trust of the table, man.
Trust the table, bruh. Now you've listened to all these scores and you've thought to yourself, man, there are a lot of, you know, there's no. This year, of course, there is no clear-cut number one yet. There's no, I would say, if you gave me a 1 through 10, I'd give you a different 1 through 10. Somebody else would give me a different 1 through 10. But Nick, I think you have a theory on why is it this way, Nick?
Yeah. So just to kind of quickly recap, an extremely crazy weekend. I know we kind of trudged through, you know, about 10 or so results there, but you had UCLA, a top 10 team losing, Georgia, a top 10 team losing, Ole Miss, a top 10 team losing, Notre Dame, a top 10. You had four top 10 teams go down. And in three of those games, the team that lost was favored. So I don't think it's so much that we don't know what we're talking about. I think this is a specifically crazy year, and I think it has a lot to do with this season specifically. As we've mentioned, there doesn't appear to be a clear-cut number one this year, as there has been in past years. But I also think that kind of extends to the rest of the field. So it seems like in years past, there was a pack of teams that would kind of separate themselves and were pretty clearly the cream of the crop. And I'm thinking back, you know, even to just like last year, things solidified as the year went on. But, well, not even last year. Let's go back a couple more years. You know, kind of when Bama and LSU were running the table, you knew that those two guys were the best two teams in the country, and it was clear week in and week out. They weren't really struggling the way that we're seeing top teams struggle this year, with 7-point wins over much lesser opposition, or, you know, Michigan State's case, a 3-point win over just a bad Purdue team. So I think it's just the way the teams kind of shook out this year. I also think it has a lot to do with the playoff. So one loss doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of it now. And I think with some of these one or two loss teams, you're seeing them punch way above their weight class because they believe that even with one or two losses, if they win their conference, they can maybe sneak into the playoffs. Kind of in Arizona State's case, I mean, that might be a different game a couple years ago if Arizona State has had a couple disappointing results and feels like they don't have much left to play for. Because you have to, quote unquote, go undefeated to play for a national title, you know? Yeah. And then, of course, you have the aspect that, you know, college football is a huge industry now. It's big business. So there's more money being poured into programs, facilities, trainers, coaches, what the players are eating, indoor practice facilities. I'm pretty sure TCU has a cryogenic rehabilitation center.
That's awesome.
Where guys just stand up to their neck and just like an ice, like a fridge basically, and it's supposed to heal their muscles. I mean, that's some real sci-fi stuff going on there, man. I think it's narrowing the gap a little bit between the top tier and the middle of the road programs. So I think that last point is the biggest thing. I think there's so much money in college football now to be made that even some of the smaller programs can get conference money or get TV deals or go play at a bigger school and get a nice check and kind of build their program. So I think the business aspect of it is probably the biggest part of it. I think this year we are not like, this is not, it's not over. Like I think a lot of the bigger schools have potential to lose as we move forward. I think you could see a two loss SEC champion in the college football playoff or a one loss Big 12 champion or something like that. So I don't know that a team is going to finish the year unscathed. I don't think there's going to be a clear-cut favorite for the college football playoff, which is even better for us as fans, but for us as new analysts, Robbie, I think it's kind of difficult. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree on everything you said there, but and I mean, I think that with the addition of two more teams going into a playoff to vie for a national championship, you know, I think that there's just, it's almost like you have twice as good a chance to get in now, even though I know that statistically and numerically and mathematically that's not correct. It just feels that way right now. So like one loss and you're not like crying over your season. But my real thought on why teams are performing the way they are this year is my favorite word in all of college football, and that's parity. You no longer have that huge gap between the best college football player and the second best anymore. You know, there's no you other than like right now with like Leonard Fournette, there's really no instance I can really think of where you're going, oh, that guy's the best in the country and there's no argument about it. Nobody can argue me about it. That other than Leonard Fournette. And that's just a freak mode, kind of dude anyway.
Exception that proves the rule.
Yeah, exactly. And you may have, you know, six or seven guys in the same recruiting class who all, like quarterbacks that all went and competed at the same Elite 11 high school camps, you know, in the same exact year. They all got recruited in the same year that you know, run the table in their schools and stuff like that. Look at some of the schools that have so many QBs that they've got guys transferring away so they can play at other Division One, major Division One colleges and other Power Five schools. You know, I think now recruits are also seeing, you know, like I said, they have a higher chance of getting into that national championship game. So maybe they're thinking about, instead of, you know, in the past when maybe if you wanted to get noticed, you had to go to like USC, you know, if you're a running back. And, you know, maybe now they're thinking, oh, well, my lifelong favorite school is, you know, in a Power Five conference. And while they may not be the best, I can still get noticed. So they may go to one of those schools rather than going to, you know, maybe going somewhere that's, rather than going to a school that's going to give them a title and maybe an NFL education, they're going to a school that they like it. And I know that's kind of weird to think about, but you know, you look at LSU, for instance, you know, you've got players, even though LSU is a great school, you're going to get noticed at it. I'm just saying that there are a lot of guys that are from Louisiana that stay there because they were born into the Tiger family. So they're going to stay there. And you know, I don't know. So I'm just saying, like, the top 10 recruits aren't, you know, they're not really going to the same top 10 schools like they would have been, you know, a decade ago. So then we have to look at everything. And I hate to say it, but you can't. You used to be able to judge these teams by, like, their strength of schedule in the past, and you'd be able to say, oh, you know, they beat really good teams. But when you've got teams like Ole Miss losing to Florida, you know, number 3 ranked team losing to number 25 ranked team. I know it's early in the season, and again, rankings don't matter yet. But, you know, it's going to make it a lot more difficult for especially like the playoff committee to look at this, who's beating who, and look at that nice chain. It's, you know, in some ways you're going to look at it and it's just turtles all the way down. You know, it's who beat who beat who beat who, and right, it's all going to come full circle, and they're not going to be able to judge them based on that. So Nick, with all that being said, I'm going to blindside you with something. Blindside, like that movie, you know.
I recently saw that for the first time.
Sandra Bullock, very good. So, who in your opinion? I just want to know who you think. Who are your top 4 teams, or even top 5? We don't have to stop with 4. And that's me blindsiding you. Yeah. And feel free to answer. Okay. Cavalier, go nuts.
Yeah, I'm gonna say, do I need to go in order? I guess I need to go in order.
If you want to.
Number 1, I'm gonna say Baylor right now.
Okay.
Prolific on offense, and I just think they play better defense than TCU does, and I think they'll probably get them this year. TCU trounced Texas last week, but the week before that they gave up a 50 burger to Texas Tech, and conveniently Baylor played Texas Tech last weekend, only gave up 35 and dropped 63. So yeah, I'm gonna say Baylor number 1. Bama 2. Mm-hmm. If they can navigate that schedule. Do they have LSU at home this year, or are they going to Death Valley?
I believe they are. Gosh, what is that one? Oh, they're at home. They're at home with LSU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see.
No, this doesn't have to be like a, you know.
You're correct, yeah.
This doesn't have to be a look ahead. This can be just like,
okay, this can be kind of off the cuff, like right now, who's the top. Yeah, okay. I'm going to go, Baylor 1, Bama 2, Utah 3, Clemson 4. Yeah, I feel good about that. Excluding the Big Ten teams, because they are both coming off pretty abysmal performances.
Sure.
Clemson beat what I think is a very good Notre Dame team. Utah, man, they are not messing around in Salt Lake City. And they've got a good test this weekend in Cal, which we will get to later. So, right now, Baylor 1, Bama 2, Utah 3, Clemson 4. What about you?
Oh, I didn't know you were going to ask me. No, I knew. I'm actually going to call Utah my number one team just because...
Nice!
We'll get into that later. We're going to talk about it later. I think I'll have to call LSU my number two team. I just think that they have been impressive. I mean, I know they weren't that great against a Syracuse team, but at the same time, it was a win, and it was an out-of-conference win, and it was a road win. So I'm going to go ahead and say...
It's just one troubling result. I mean, they've looked pretty good otherwise. Not even troubling. Syracuse played really well in that game.
Yeah. So I said Utah 1, LSU 2. I have to take Baylor number 3. I think that they're just played extremely well in their plug-and-play offense. And I will say that they're going to need to get their defense together to navigate that Big 12. But and then the fourth spot. This is where I just get so hung up on this. I don't even know who my four. You know what? I'm going to agree with you. I have to say Clemson because I think that also, I think that Clemson's going to be able to navigate through the ACC. I know this is projecting ahead, but I think that Clemson's going to be able to navigate the ACC and make their way through it. And even if they lose one game to Florida State, I think that a conference champion Clemson might be a lot more enticing than a non-conference champion winner, in my opinion. And then I say all that so that we can bring up who we currently have in our top, in the top of the Outkicked Our Coverage table.
Oh, go to the table, Rob.
I'm totally going to the table. Got to go to the table. And you'll recall that for every time they win, they get 3 points. Every time against a Power 5 team, against a Group of 5 team, they get 1 point. And a FCS opponent, they don't get anything. They lose to a Power 5 team, they don't get anything. They lose to a Group of 5 team, they lose 1 point, and they lose to an FCS opponent, and it's -3. So you take all that, you add them up, then you divide by the number of the games, and that brings us to our number one overall team, undoubtedly right now in the table is LSU, and that would be because they've played 3 Power 5 teams and 1 Group of 5 team, and they beat them. They have a 2.5. Texas A&M and Florida are tied for second, and then from 4 to 14, it's all tied at 2 points.
Ooh.
As the season goes on, these numbers will vary a little bit more. I've actually noticed from last week to this week, we've gotten a lot more different numbers. Of course, you're going to get more as it goes on, but it's odd to note that the first 3 are SEC teams, and then the bulk of 4 through 14 are Pac-12 teams, Big Ten, and then there's a couple of Big 12 teams in there. And then Florida State is the highest ranked ACC team, and they're in there too. So it's worth noting that you also have to realize the way the SEC schedules, they always do a big game at the beginning of the season. And if you look at someone like Florida, for instance, they haven't played an FCS opponent this year. They're not going to play an FCS opponent this year. So if they keep winning out, they're going to keep getting 3s and a 1, and they're going to keep looking good. And again, as the season goes on, this table is going to look a lot more correct, I think. But again, it's a work in progress. We're going to figure out exactly how things are going to work with that. I think, Nick, it's time to talk about this upcoming week. We're going to kind of blow through these a little bit, mostly because I think as we just explained, there's a lot of parity with teams this year, so a lot of these games are going to be really difficult to really call and really kind of break down, because you just don't know what's going to happen anymore.
And that,
so
for both of us, as we said at the top of the show, it was kind of a crazy week. I had two midterms this week, and I sat down and started doing research for the podcast, and I just, guys, I just couldn't. I didn't have it in me. But we both have been following college football, I would say, more closely than we ever have this season because of the podcast. So you will get some good predictions.
Sure.
Trust. So first game on the slate here, number 10 Oklahoma versus Texas, 12 p.m. Eastern on ABC, the Red River Rivalry. Say that five times
Red
fast.
River Rivalry.
Or shootout or showdown or whatever they're calling it these days. So Texas got absolutely waxed by TCU last week.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have a lot of stats for tonight, Rob, but I do have this one. Texas is giving up 507 yards total offense per game.
Nuh-uh. Per game?
Yes. They're averaging 507 yards per game in total defense.
I would love to know.
That is good for 119th in the country.
I would love to know what that was before the TCU game, though. But I'm going to go ahead and, I'm going to let you finish.
I'm sure it wasn't. I'm going to let you finish, but I'm sure it wasn't much better. They're 1-4. They look terrible. They lost a couple close games, and then TCU, I think, just broke them. Baker Mayfield for Oklahoma, on the other hand, has looked fantastic this year. I don't think the Longhorns have a ghost of a shadow of a chance in this game. I think they're going to get embarrassed.
I have to tell you, I'm going to pause it right here. I'm sorry. Wait. It cleared up. We're fine. I'm going to keep it going.
Keep it going.
I'm going to say not so fast, my friend. I think Texas is an upset in this game. Now, there are reasons, you know, looking at the past history of OU, Texas, or Texas OU, however you call this game. It's a neutral site game, whatever. That say, you know, whenever Texas is unranked and Oklahoma's ranked, that Texas has won more games than Oklahoma, you know, whatever. Look at those all you want. What I'm looking at is the fact that I'm pretty sure all of Texas's Power 5 opponents thus far this year are 19-1. With the sole loss coming from Notre Dame losing to Clemson. So
that's a good stat.
That's why I think I'm going with Texas. I think last week was what I think it was a wake-up call, if anything. You got players tweeting during halftime, retweeting people who are saying, man, you should come play for A&M or whatever. You know, they're retweeting them. I'm just going to go ahead and say that I think Charlie Strong is I think this is his week to really turn this team around. That's not to say he absolutely will. I'm just saying that if it's going to happen, it has to happen this week. You got to give those fans in Texas something to be excited about. He knows that. So I think I'm going to call Texas as an upset this week. And unfortunately, we have to call it an upset. We shouldn't have to, but we do.
Yeah. I can't wait for Texas to be good again. They were one of the better programs, more enjoyable programs to follow.
Sure.
Kind of in the mid to late 2000s, Vince Young to the Colt McCoy era.
Mm-hmm.
College football is better when the big powers are better, Texas included. And speaking of the big powers, number 13 Northwestern at number 18 Michigan. Michigan, one of those big powers that is clawing their way back to national relevance. That one, a 3:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff on the Big Ten Network.
Yay, Big Ten Network. A ranked game on the Big Ten Network. How about that?
Yeah, fantastic. Wish they would have bumped that one to a national network. But c'est la vie. Rob, you know how much I like defense. I do. A good defense, which is becoming more rare and rare these days. So I gave you a defense stat for the Texas game. Would you care to venture a guess where Michigan is ranked in total defense this season?
I'm going to guess they're in the top 20, but that's all I can say.
They are number two.
Nuh-uh.
In yards per game given up, they are two, averaging about 184 yards given up per game.
Wow,
for five
even
games.
With a loss. Wow.
Yeah, even with the loss. Well, that loss is looking better and better by the week. That week one loss to Utah, where Jake Ruddock threw three picks. Can you imagine if they had won that game and then Utah did what they did to Oregon? I mean, golly, Michigan be in the top 10.
Absolutely.
Yeah. First year under Harbaugh. But yeah, so I like Michigan's defense a lot. I think Harbaugh has learned how to manage Jake Ruddock, as we mentioned earlier. And their ground game is solid, as we saw in their game against BYU, where they just ran right over the Cougars. And this one is in the Big House. So I'm gonna take Michigan to knock off the higher ranked Wildcats.
Yeah, just in looking at this game ahead of time, I honestly just threw my hands up and went, I don't know. I guess I picked Michigan. I don't know. And I'm going to pick them just because it's a home game for Michigan. I think that it's hard to win in the Big House. So I have to say I picked Michigan on this one. But again, everything I read just made me go, yeah, they're both pretty much the same. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I couldn't. Anyways,
the Wolverines, huh?
I picked the Wolverines, yeah. Wolverines! Not happy about it, but I'm doing it.
Moving on to a little Big 12 action. Number 21, Oklahoma State at West Virginia. West Virginia kind of let that Oklahoma game get away from them last week, much to my chagrin. So that one is a 7 p.m. Eastern kickoff on ESPN2. Yeah, so if West Virginia hadn't turned the ball over so many times in the Oklahoma game, they might have gotten the Sooners. Oklahoma State has been a little lucky in the past couple weeks. 2 weeks ago against Texas, long snapper hikes the ball over the punter's head. Oklahoma State wins the game. And then last week, I understand there was an officiating discrepancy where the officials just gave them a first down against Kansas State, like just awarded them an extra first down.
They were like 4 yards short, and they just gave them the first
down.
Yeah.
And so that kind of, I mean, affected that game as well. I know that was a close game with Kansas State last week. So I think Oklahoma State has gotten away with a couple. West Virginia, I watched them last week. I did get to see some of that game. And if they can take care of the football, they can win this game. I watched the Skylar Howard, is that the kid's name, at quarterback? Throws a good ball. And this one is in Morgantown. So I think West Virginia is going to pick up the win. Based solely on the fact that they're due for one. I mean, they could have got Oklahoma last week, but they didn't. So I like West Virginia at quarterback, and I like West Virginia's defense, and I like it in Morgantown, and I think Oklahoma State's gonna have problems on the road. So, yep, yeah. Mountaineers.
Yeah, especially with that whole debate this year over time zone differences. I wonder if that'll be brought up again. You know, I think that West Virginia is very underrated for a one-loss team, not even in the top 25, but I think that they're probably one of the more underrated one-loss teams. But I think Oklahoma State, for an undefeated team, I have to say that Oklahoma State is underrated-er.
Ooh.
And, you know, I think that even though they haven't played anybody yet, you can look at their schedule. They haven't played. I don't know. They haven't played anybody. They played Central Michigan. I don't even know who it's Central Arkansas. Okay. University of Texas San Antonio, and then their two quality wins so far have been against Texas and Kansas State.
Ain't played nobody.
Ain't played nobody yet. But I still think that they're still playing good football. They're not playing blow you out of the water football, but they're playing good football. And I think that Mason Rudolph does look pretty good, but they're going to need to lean on that run a little bit more. I'm pretty sure they're last in the Big 12 in rushing yards this year. So they're going to need to really step that up. I know they love the air raid there, but you know what? They're going to have to get over it, because you look at the teams that are looking like they're going to run the table, and there are teams that are putting up ridiculous rushing yards and on the ground. So I think we're going to have to start, you know, they're going to have to start doing that if they really want to pull ahead. But
interesting. Dana Holgorsen, former offensive coordinator at Oklahoma State, I believe.
Yeah, and a lot of people are saying that he's the whole reason that Oklahoma State doesn't run the ball, is because they're still in Dana Holgorsen hangover from from him implementing the air raid there. But you know what? This is the same school that has the greatest running back of all time coming from it, pretty much. Well, one of the greatest running backs of all time. Anyways,
oh, Barry Sanders. I was like, who?
Sorry, Barry.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm with
you. I saw you. I was like, okay. So moving along, number two, TCU at Kansas State. Kansas State kind of got jobbed last week. So that's a 7:30 p.m. Eastern kick on Fox. Rob, I understand there is a bit of a quarterback situation for the Wildcats.
Yeah, dude.
Fill our listeners in.
Yeah, dude. I'm still wondering if this is a joke. Well, I think anyone who watches Kansas State football knows that they're not having the best time in the world right now. And a lot of it has to do with the quarterback injuries. They are very low on their healthy quarterbacks. And this week, Bill Snyder, I believe it was a joke. Again, I think he was joking, but we'll see come Saturday. He's eyeing his 6 foot, 297 pound defensive tackle, Will Geary, or Gary, I don't even know how to say his name, because he's, you know why? Because he's a defensive tackle, to start. And he's currently their seventh string quarterback. I don't know. Again, I don't know how serious that is. And then they've also got an offensive lineman, Dalton Risner, who's 6'5", 300 pounds, who wants to play quarterback. I don't know about you, Nick, but I really, really, really want this to happen. I want the fat guy quarterback, and I want him to throw lights out against TCU. I want him to be the heaviest quarterback to ever throw for 200 yards in against a top-ranked team.
Kind of harkens back to the days of Jared Lorenzen at Kentucky.
Yes.
The hefty lefty.
The original hefty lefty.
Yeah. No, I agree. I hope we see a very, very large man at quarterback for Kansas State. That would just make my day.
Yeah.
Who you got?
Man, I got to pick TCU in this. There's too much going on. I know that Bill Snyder's trying to put a Band-Aid on his Kansas State program, but unfortunately TCU is going to rip the Band-Aid off and pour salt in the wound.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think TCU just has too much on offense for Kansas State to keep this one close with all the troubles they're having at quarterback. I mean, we're down to sixth, seventh string. I mean, geez Louise, I just don't see how they can put points on the board to keep up with TCU and Trevon Boykin and that very potent TCU passing attack. One more than the game of the week, we got Miami at number 12, Florida State, 8 p.m. Eastern on ABC. I can tell you, Rob, that the hurricane flags are flying over the Dunlap practice field here in Tallahassee. Miami Hate Week.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really have the feel of a big Miami-Florida State rivalry, thanks to Miami crapping the bed last week against Cincinnati. Thanks, Hurricanes. Can always count on that. And Florida State has not, one would not say they have been impressive thus far, this season. So kind of a subdued atmosphere around this one. I know the student body is amped up for it, but I just don't know how much nationally this one is going to get a lot of attention. And I'm going to put my Florida State hat on here for a second, Rob. And I want to talk about an ESPN article that came out this week that ranked all of the undefeated teams left in FBS football. So there are 20 left. Have you seen this article?
I have not.
Do you know where they put Florida State on that list?
I wouldn't have the faintest idea. Those people are crazy and
dead last.
No.
So in the eyes of this ESPN columnist, Florida State is worse than Memphis, than Houston, than Temple, than Toledo,
Navy,
Iowa, Oklahoma State. Navy, yep, Navy's on there.
Yikes.
I really try to remove myself from the kind of tinfoil hat talk of a lot of native Tallahasseans about ESPN is out to get us and that kind of stuff, and they have a vendetta against FSU. But I feel like this is just openly trolling us. And I want to see if you share that sentiment. I just think with the talent that is on a Florida State roster, it's very different than the talent that is on, say, a Memphis roster or a Temple roster. And to rank those teams above FSU just seems ludicrous to me. Am I in the right here, or am I just being a defensive FSU fan?
I think you're correct. I want to throw a stat at you real quick, Nick, that makes me think that Florida State should be much higher. In 113 pass attempts, Everett Golson has been intercepted 0 times. For a guy that the media jumped all over and called him just the turnover machine, he has not lived up to those expectations, thankfully for Florida State fans. So, you know, in looking at that, I would have to think, if the only question I really have against Florida State is a quarterback play, I have to throw that out the window, and I have to have no more questions about them. So I don't see why they would be ranked number 20th out of 20 undefeated teams, especially behind what, Toledo? Come on. Toledo beat Arkansas. Woohoo. Good for them.
Lots of folks have beat Arkansas.
Lots of folks have beat Arkansas, including Bama this week, by the way.
Yes. So I think Bama will get them.
I guess I want to hear your prediction then, Nick. I think I know what it is, but I want to hear it.
Well, all of that said, I think this is going to be a close one. That Kaya kid at Miami, Brad Kaya, he looks fantastic. He just plays with so much confidence, and it's just so sad to see him be undermined by a mediocre Miami defense that gave up 27 points in the first half last week, and an offensive coordinator that doesn't seem to want to play to the strengths of his team. They've got a great running back in Yearby, and they should hand the dang ball off to him, you know, 20, 30 times a game, and then let Kaya, you know, roll out or do a little play action pass or whatever. I mean, I'm not an offensive coordinator, but some of the calls in the Cincinnati game I found questionable last week. So I think Miami's offense will keep them in the game for a while, and I think Florida State might struggle to score. I know Dalvin Cook picked up a knock against Wake Forest last week, but last I heard he practiced in full pads today, so we will see there. I think Florida State will win the game, but I think it might be a little closer than Florida State fans would like. Miami is not horrible. They just are constantly disappointing to their fan base, and I think they will be again this week. I have no reason to believe why Miami would win. There's in their toughest game this year on the road against Cincinnati, they came up short and really had a disappointing performance. So I think Florida State will win, but I think it might be a little closer than the Noles fans want.
Yeah, I think that when you're in the Doak Campbell Stadium, you might look up in the sky and you might see another banner flying over the stadium. And that banner, again, is going to say, Fire Al Golden. And that's going to be because a Miami person paid that person to fly that flag. Now, an FSU fan might say, Keep Al Golden.
I can confirm that there are actually
Kickstarters and yes,
yeah, Keep Al Golden t-shirts being sold on campus.
Yes,
I have seen them. They are here, and I can't say I disagree with that sentiment.
So, in saying that, I have to say that FSU gonna win, and I think they're gonna win big because, like you said, Miami is not playing to their strengths. They continue to not play to their strengths, and I still have to think that in my head brain, I have to say that Al Golden is a good coach. Unfortunately, he's at Miami, and there are too many problems to count at Miami, and I think that this is just going to be another year of Florida State trouncing Miami in the Florida State-Miami rivalry. What's it called, Nick? Does it have a name? You don't have a name?
That doesn't really have a name, which is unfortunate. And you know what? Our rivalry with the Gators doesn't really have a name either.
Ugh, so dumb. Why don't these? Every rivalry needs a name, okay? Let's come up with a name real quick. The Harry Knoll, the Nola Kane. Nope, doesn't work. Okay,
Nola Kane sounds like a drug you get when you go to the dentist.
it's my favorite drug.
They caught me with some Nola Kane, man. I was good.
I think we should move on to our game of the week, Nick.
Yes, let us do that. So we have number 23 Cal at number 5 Utah, 10 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Take it away, Rob.
Yeah, who'd have thunk Utah would be an underdog to pretty much almost anyone in the Pac-12 other than like Colorado this early into their tenure in the Power Five. And I know that TCU and Utah entered the Power Fives at the same time, and TCU has totally excelled. But Utah, I don't think anyone really expected them to be talked about this much this soon. And here's why. They're not an explosive defensive team. You may think they are. They're not, okay? They are not an explosive offensive team. So wait, if they're neither of those things and they're still ranked number 5, and even Robbie here, me, this guy, has them ranked number 1 in his top 5 or top whatever, top everything, you know what they are? They're a special teams team. And I know that that's weird to say, but let's look at some of the things here. Their average punts are about 34 yards, but they've only allowed 19 yards returned all season. They're averaging 21.8 yards per punt return, and they've returned 2 punts for touchdowns, including that awesome one against Oregon. They've got almost 30 yards per kickoff return with 1 touchdown. I have to think that what Utah is doing here is when they can't score, they're doing a great job of pinning their opponents back far enough to make it very difficult for them to score. I think this is harkening back to old school football, because nowadays I feel like a lot of teams, you know, if they're on their own 40-yard line or whatever, they might be thinking, oh, we can probably get a first down, you know, if it's 4th and 2. Or something like that. And so a lot of teams are a lot more, they're going for it more. But I think that Utah is playing some great old school football, and they're using field position to their advantage. Now, the Oregon game's a little bit of an outlier. While they did rock it on special teams, they also rocked it on defense, and they rocked it on offense too. That game they just rocked, okay? Sorry, Oregon, you sucked that game. So I have to think that Utah is going to win this game based on special teams, and that may include kicking, that may, whatever. But I think that the punting game is the real story behind Utah this year, in my opinion. But then we also have to look at Cal. In my opinion, Goff is the best. Is it Goff or Joff?
Goff. You're right.
I know it's Goff. I've heard him say it a million times. He's the best quarterback in the Pac-12 this year. He's got more throwing yards. He's got, like, what, 15 touchdowns so far this year. I think he's very good. I just happen to think that I think that Utah is going to win this game, and they're going to win it on special teams, oddly enough.
That's interesting. So the Goffense, Jared Goff in California love to air the ball out. Mm-hmm. Goff is 7th in the country in passing yards right now. He's got 1,600 passing yards already. In California, averages 358.4 yards per game through the air. Very potent passing offense for the Bears. Their defense is kind of middle of the road, but so is Utah's. I think Utah might have gotten a little too much credit for that win over Oregon, because I think Oregon's not very good this year, and we're all finding that out. They did take it to them, though. I will give them credit for that. 60 points is tough to do against anybody. I'm going to go Bears. I'm going to say Cal. Just because I think it might turn into a bit of a shootout, and it's going to be hard for Utah to catch up. Tyler Wilson is a very efficient passer. I think I read somewhere that he's the most efficient passer in the country for the Utes. And then we know they've got a great back in the backfield there. Mm-hmm. His name is escaping me. But I think Utah is winning games with controlling the clock, special teams play, as you mentioned. And I think if Cal starts to put some points on the board, it's going to put pressure on the Utah offense, and they're going to have problems keeping up. So, you know what? We were wrong pretty much all last week. Why not go out on a limb this week? And I'm going to take the Bears.
Uh-oh.
In a close one on the road. So, uh-oh. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Why not? Who cares?
Well, everybody, you've heard all of our picks. You heard us complain. You heard us whine. We thought this was going to be a short show. But if you've stayed with us for this, like, hour, I believe that we've been doing this.
I'm so sorry, people.
Well, no, God bless you. God bless you. May you have blessings upon your life, and may your team win, unless your team is Arkansas or Miami. But again, thank you for being with us. Be sure to check us out on Facebook at Outkicked Our Coverage. We love the Twitters at Outkick Coverage. Please shoot us some emails. Tell us you loved listening to us for an hour or something at outkickedourcoverage@gmail.com. Hey, Nick, do they need to go to the website?
Soon. Soon you will need to go to the website.
Soon. You can always send us smoke signals, or you can you just remember to always outkick your coverage every day. And if you haven't locked it down by midnight, it is not worth it. We will see you after this awesome week 6. We'll talk about week 7, right? Yeah, it'll be week 7. Holy crap.
Oh, man. Enjoy the chaos, everybody.
Enjoy the chaos.
You're pretty good at that.
Thank you. Okay, it's done.